TNT Radio wants to know what you really think, because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's Soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
You know, folks, I'm not an oracle. I'm not a perfect prognosticator, but I consume a tremendous amount of media, so you don't have to. I've got an incredible network of friends that send me things all day long because they know that I can't see everything. And a lot of times I've seen it. More times than not, I haven't. And so that's how I keep up. And I'm able to see patterns, and I'm able to see when things break patterns. So I started reporting in January that I have felt the wind change and predicted a sea change coming. I started to see things, you know, brick by brick, a wall was being formed. Or in this case, a wall was being taken down. And that was the wall that separated most people from the truth. And maybe it's because I'm 6'5", or maybe it's because I have x-ray vision, but I was able to see through that wall, and I've been able to see through the truth all along. And again, this isn't me. This is the Lord working through me. I've been given tremendous gifts, and I try to use them to the best of my ability. I think now you're able to see what I started seeing in January. Just look at the headlines today. We've got the House voting 419-0. Not everybody was there. 419-0. The House unanimously sent the bill that mandates that all COVID origins information be declassified. It's been sent to the president for his signature, and he has to sign it. All he can do at this point is delay it with a pocket veto, right? He has a certain amount of time in which to sign the bill. If he doesn't sign it, it's deemed to be vetoed. It's called a pocket veto. He just puts the bill in his pocket and ignores it. And I believe it's 30 days. And I might be wrong about that, but I believe it's 30 days. And then the bill becomes law. Once it goes back to the House and to the Senate, and they vote again to override his veto. And to override a veto takes a supermajority. But this bill passed both houses, both the House and the Senate, unanimously. So the COVID-19 origin story is finally going to be known. And we all know it was created in the lab. I've had scientists tell me, when you look at the genetic sequencing, you can see the splice marks where genes have been edited in and edited out. Just like in the old days where they spliced movie film together, you could always see the splice marks. So too with genes, because you need certain codons, certain sections of the code, in order for the enzyme to cleave and insert new genes. And you can see those edit marks in the DNA sequence that's been released. All the information on the COVID origin story is going to come out. And we know just what we all said from the start. It was the Wuhan lab, gain of research, gain of function research done by EcoHealth Alliance, funded by Anthony Fauci and his NIAID, National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases. Dr. Redfield, the head of the CDC, was irate and frustrated this week in his testimony. He'd been kept out of the loop. Fauci, Birx, Walensky, she's definitely in on it. All the people in on it need to be prosecuted, need to be held accountable. That's one major area where we've been lied to. Another is January 6th. That video is coming out. My friend Bobby Powell, United States Marine Corps retired independent journalist, has gone to hell and back to get the video that he took from the east side of the White House. That's the side away from the mall. He has video of Antifa black bloc head to toe, smashing in a window, and Trump supporters pulling the Antifa guy away from the window, stopping him from smashing the Capitol building. And then the Antifa terrorist, domestic terrorist, was arrested. And then all of a sudden, he was released. And the Capitol Police lined up on the wall in Bobby's video. A sergeant came over, and she told them to line up, and off they trotted. While other Capitol Police were holding open the doors to the east side of the Capitol. That's all coming out. We've got other video that quote-unquote Q Shaman, Jacob Chansley, and my partner in crime at MAGA Institute, Brooke McGowan, and Chris Hall, who's been on this show, each know Jake. They met him out in Arizona after the 2020 election. They were there for the recount, and he was out there, and they were there for several days, and they got, you know, they chatted with him a few times, got to know him a little bit. He's a sweet guy. He's a real patriot. He's not a domestic terrorist. Well, the video is coming out showing that police were escorting him around. Police let him in, told him he could sit on the dais, just be respectful, and he was respectful. And I cannot emphasize enough how much respect I have for Dr. Naomi Wolf. Unlike Scott Adams, who gave a snarky, "You were right, you win," apology to those of us who were right about everything to do with COVID from the start, Dr. Wolf gave a heartfelt apology for believing her TV about January 6th. And she said it's shaken her to her core. You need to read the apology. It's beautiful. It's one of the most magnificent pieces of writing I've read in the last 20 years. It's a heartfelt apology. She said, "I believed the dominant narrative and I was wrong. And I want you to know how sorry I am. And I believe her." This was authentic. In my estimation for her, which was already very high, because she fought against the dominant COVID narrative, because she knew it was BS. Well, now she knows the J6 narrative that she'd been told was BS too. And so now a lot of these people are wondering, what else have we been lied to about? We know that weapons of mass destruction in Iraq was a lie. We know that COVID was a lie. We know that J6 was a lie. Slowly but surely, the pieces are falling into place for people. And instead of reacting with, "I told you so," we need to react to them with love and say, you know, the sign we had on the MAGAinstitute.com website was, "Until you realize what's going on, we're going to fight for you." And that's what we've been doing. So now we need to welcome these people whose eyes are newly opened. And instead of spiking the football, we need to enlist them in the war that we're fighting, because it's not left versus right. It's up versus down. It's us. It's them versus us. And we need to prevail. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On events calendar on the TNT Radio website, tntradio.live, and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out on TNT Radio.
Russia, gas prices, COVID mandates.
It just doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The hot water surrounding New York representative, quote-unquote, lying George Santos, is pretty much boiling at this point. A former roommate who was convicted of a credit card fraud scheme has reportedly sent a letter to the FBI naming Santos as the criminal operations ringleader. Here with the full story, joining me now, is TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark.
Wow, this is pretty crazy, Timothy. Poor lying Long Island Representative George Santos, who flipped a New York district for the Republicans in November. He's come under bipartisan pressure to resign after it emerged that, of course, by now we all are aware, he fabricated much of his backstory. In an interview with Talk TV's Piers Morgan, Santos admitted he'd, quote-unquote, been a terrible liar, but insisted his motivation was, quote, getting accepted by the Republican Party, end quote, rather than, quote-unquote, tricking the people. And now we're hearing about the most bizarre thing I think I've ever heard accusation made against a sitting U.S. politician. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, Timothy. But a Brazilian man who has been convicted of skimming ATMs has named the aforementioned embattled U.S. Congressman George Santos as the mastermind behind the fraud ring. Santos, then going by an assumed name, Anthony DeVolder, was, quote, the person in charge of the crime of credit card fraud when I was arrested, end quote. So says Gustavo Ribeiro Trella, saying this in a letter to the FBI, which was published by Politico today, Friday. It says, quote, Santos taught me how to skim card information and how to clone cards. He gave me all the materials and taught me how to put skimming devices and cameras on ATM machines, end quote. That's what he wrote in the sworn statement sent on Wednesday. He was given a crash course in ATM skimming upon renting a room from Santos in 2016 and was flown out to Seattle to work. According to him, they split the profits 50-50. Trella was soon caught and received a visit from Santos, who allegedly told him not to implicate him in the scheme and even threatened his friends back in Florida. Trella was deported back to Brazil in 2018 after serving a 7-month sentence. New York Republican Santos vouched for Trella during a 2017 bail hearing, identifying himself as a family friend who worked for Goldman Sachs, a claim since revealed to be false, and volunteering to set up his protege with lodging, according to the court records. However, Trella claimed that not only did Santos fail to secure his release from jail, but he actually stole the $20,000 Trella had already collected for bail by promising to hire him the lawyer used by Mexican drug lord El Chapo, and then vamanusing, disappearing with the funds. This is absolutely insane. What do you think about all this, Timothy?
Well, I think you might be right that it is the most bizarre scandal. It is certainly not the most serious, I don't think. It doesn't involve the theft of nuclear secrets or stealing boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes and dozens of more boxes of classified documents while you were a United States senator. Joe Biden. 9 boxes just found in Boston again last week. But this is definitely bizarre. And, you know, I just want to point out the Republicans aren't supporting Santos. You know, it's up to the people of his district if they want to reelect him in 2 years. I think he should resign. If he's indicted, he should definitely resign. We don't want, you know, scumbags and charlatans and liars in our party, which is why we at MAGAInstitute.com try to do all we can to certify America First candidates and get people to realize that they shouldn't be voting for wolves in sheep's clothing. But there's a sharp contradistinction between Republican standards and Democrat standards, right? I mean, Alcee Hastings was a federal judge who was not only impeached by the House, but convicted by the Senate. But the Senate failed to debar him from holding future office as part of its punishment. So they removed him from the federal bench for corruption. But because they didn't debar him from holding office, Hastings ran for Congress and served in Congress until he died. And he was a Democrat. Nobody was calling out the Democrats for that, right? The media wasn't saying, oh, Democrats are liars and scumbags and cheats and corrupt. No. So we're operating in a definitely in a side of double standard, but that's no reason for us to abandon our standards. But we do need to do everything we can do, Adam, to point out that the Democrats love to throw feces, but maybe they ought to look in the mirror.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the House Ethics Committee did earlier appoint a panel to investigate Santos over a number of accusations relating to his 2022 congressional campaign, along with, I mean, this guy's got a lot of dirty laundry. There's a former volunteer's claim, of course, that's recently come out that the House Republican targeted him with sexual harassment, which Santos has also denied, but he's denying this too. That's all he does. He denies, and he lies.
Yeah, no, the guy is a pathological narcissist. He's a clinical he's a sociopath, if not a psychopath, right? He's clearly has issues. Let's just put it this way. He's not the new face of the Republican Party.
No, but maybe if he switched sides, it might make more sense.
If he switched sides, they'd run him for president.
Oh.
I mean, everything he's done is almost a qualification to run for president as a Democrat. Hurts so good. All right, Adam, another great week. Thank you so much. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Rick Munn.
Talking about Russian soldiers fighting with spades right now, saying they're out of ammunition. Some absolute bunkum being printed out there.
Wagner PMC have leveled the city. They've allowed one western route out of the city and have offered the Ukrainian soldiers that they can leave. I was speaking to George Eliason yesterday. We don't understand why they're doing that, because these soldiers could just potentially return. But I suspect most of the soldiers that they're telling to leave aren't really soldiers. As you said, they are conscripts. And there was an image put around by Poroshkin, who is the head of the Wagner private military company. He was saying, you've got to leave the city now or we're going to kill you all. And then the camera panned around to an old man and two crying young boys. It brings home the horror of war, and it is the reason why Bakhmut is known as the Bakhmut meat grinder. We've used the meat grinder term before, me and you, with regards to Russia. Yep. They have actually named the city the Bakhmut meat grinder, and the losses for Ukraine are catastrophic.
He's locked and loaded. Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can't happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and lies in American education at SalemNow.com.
If you're talking about it,
for a strong America, for a proud America, I am running for president of the United States.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Mike Ford was commissioned into the regular army as a second lieutenant of infantry upon his graduation from the United States Military Academy, worked his way up to colonel, and had a highly decorated career. Flew combat missions in Apache attack helicopters and did some generally badass stuff. Mike, in retirement, however, has become a pussycat, opining on such online publications as Res State and American Thinker. He's now the CEO and managing editor for America Free News Network. He speaks Ruski y Español and is a licensed pilot with an instrument rating. All-round great guy, with a superb article out today on AFNN.us about how his article on 11 January 2021 concerning the events of January 6th was censored by Big Tech, and the newly released videos by Kevin McCarthy and Tucker Carlson this week have vindicated Mike, and he's here to tell us the tale. Welcome back, Colonel Mike Ford.
First of all, thank you for having me on. One thing I'd like to clear up, I have never flown an Apache. However, I've asked them to put ugly stuff on bad people. So
okay, my mistake. Thanks for the correction of the record.
But that's important because, you know, Apaches and A-10s are very good. 30 millimeter depleted uranium means never having to say you're sorry. So it's pretty good stuff.
My next door neighbor flew an A-10 with the boys from Syracuse back when the 174th attack wing was actually an attack wing and didn't just fly Reaper drones. So I know exactly what the Warthog can do. And it is a blessing. That titanium bathtub gives the pilots a measure of comfort while they're just putting heavy stuff on bad dudes.
If it was possible to marry an airplane, I would marry an A-10, a B-17, or a Super Constellation. One of the three.
Or their love child.
Well, indeed. Well, that would even be better.
Right?
Now, let's get to...
You were one of the first people out. I was there front row, 10th row center. I don't want to brag saying front row, but I was there 10th. I was there 10th row center in the Ellipse within the secure area on January 6th. My experience had nothing to do with the Capitol. I know your experience. You weren't one of the violent insurrectionists, the armed insurrectionists that were simply carrying flagpoles. Well, you know that's why they called them armed, right? You heard that Democrats say, well, they were carrying flagpoles that could have been used to injure somebody. Therefore, they were armed.
Right. So carrying around Old Glory is a threat. Okay. I can see how that would be.
And some of them had automatic Gadsden flags. It was just out of control.
Oh, were they fully semi-automatic Gadsden flags?
They were fully semi-automatic. They were fully semi-automatic AK-15 Gadsden flags.
Okay. I think we should title this segment Riot is Relative. And let me tell you why. Back in the day when I used to teach some of this stuff at the Special Warfare Center, one of the things that we learned how to do on one side in the foreign internal defense side, which is we're helping an allied country prevent a revolution. So we would teach them how to properly quell a riot without killing too many civilians and making things worse for the government. On the other side, on the unconventional warfare side, where we're trying to overthrow a government, you know, we taught people how to start a riot, make it look like somebody else's fault. Okay. And I will tell you
let me just stop you right there, because I've been educating people for years on what a false flag is. When you call something a false flag, folks, it's not that it didn't happen. It's that the people you think did it aren't the ones that actually did it.
Exactly. And I will tell you right now, watching what happened on January 6th and Her Majesty Queen Theresa, my lovely bride, and I watched this whole thing play out on the radio, on the TV, and we watched people walking through the velvet guide ropes, and they were gripping and grinning with the guards and taking selfies and all that. And I compared, and then I saw the stills of certain violent acts. And before we go on further, let me caveat something. If you put your hands on a law enforcement officer in the lawful constitutional execution of his duties, your sorry butt needs to go to jail.
Amen.
We're tracking so far. Okay. If you destroy property, not your own, damage or destroy property, not your own, whether it's private property or public property that we all own, then your sorry butt needs to pay for it. And guess what? Go to jail.
Go to jail.
Are we all agreement on that? Okay, fine. Okay, so we've established that. Basically, what I have seen from my perspective, what I said is riot is relative. When I watched 2 years of Antifa burning buildings, destroying property, attempting to assassinate law enforcement officers, attempting to incinerate them in their own precinct house by burning it to the ground with over $15 billion in damages, okay? And 30, at least my last count, 30 fatalities. And when I compare that, and if I'm a riot instructor and I'm going to grade this, Antifa and BLM get an A+. The folks that a couple decades ago brought high explosive into the Capitol and set it off and blew it up, they get an A-. Folks that brought small arms into the Capitol a few decades ago and shot people, they get an A-. Whoever was responsible for instigating this riot, if you want to call it that, I would give a D- at best. Okay. You know, because riot, once again, is relative. You know, you can say, according to the law, a riot is this, that, and the other. But in today's political environment, the way we prosecute these things also gets a vote. And we're prosecuting people for walking through there, looking around, having a good time, chatting up the Capitol Police. We got the shaman with his horn helmet and all this other stuff. I'd like to meet that guy. But from the video I saw, he was walking around making a statement. Why is he going to do 4 years in prison? Answer me that.
Because the narrative, okay, all those people that you just talked about out in Portland, in Seattle, remember Chaz, the zone that was, police weren't, it was a semi-autonomous zone and police weren't allowed in, and they were.
That you sounds like talk an insurrection about, there.
That sounds like trying to make themselves
apart from the U.S.
Yeah, you want to talk about sedition? You want to talk about insurrection? Let's talk about Chaz. Do you know what happened to all those people? The same Justice Department that is keeping people unconstitutionally, illegally, without bond in D.C. jail, where they were just run through with dogs again last Tuesday after Tucker came out on Wednesday with his first tranche of videos. They have been tormented by this Justice Department. This very same Justice Department let them all go. Let all those terrorists out in the Pacific Northwest go with community service. They don't give a rat's ass about violence, insurrection, sedition. Our DOJ, the FBI needs to be dismantled and a new agency stood up from the ground. And anybody that worked for the old agency, I don't care if you were a janitor or a secretary, you are ineligible to work for the new agency. Because don't tell me there are, you know, the rank and file is good. No, it's the rank and file that ran an illegal, unconstitutional raid on Mar-a-Lago. It's the rank and file that hid Hunter Biden's laptop. It's the rank and file that loses evidence when it isn't planting evidence and regularly testifies lies in criminal trials. Okay? FBI needs to go. Everybody involved in the current FBI needs to be permanently ineligible from serving in the new bureau, and most of the law enforcement function returned to the states. DOJ needs reforming from the bottom up. We've got to get rid of all of these hacks, especially the people calling themselves Republicans that are just doing the deep state's dirty work. I want to get into this story a little further after the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
What brings you here?
News Talk Radio.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. South Korea's military said on Thursday it would maintain a full readiness posture with the United States after detecting North Korea's launch of a short-range ballistic missile into waters off its western coast. At the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government on the Twitter files, Michael Schellenberger's opening statement on the censorship industrial complex stated that military-grade anti-terrorism tools are now being used against people who are wrong on the internet.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And Mike, this is nothing new. The left has embraced cop killers and domestic terrorists that bomb police stations in New York City and a whole host of federal buildings. They've taken these people to heart for decades. So this is nothing new about their embrace in domestic terrorism that pushes leftist causes. But, you know, if you jaywalk wearing a MAGA cap, well, that's 5 years in prison right there. That's unacceptable.
Well, I heard a Democrat politician, whether it was her steatopigiousness, Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi or one of the others. Look up that word, by the way, steatopigia. It's a great word. Steatopigia. Look it up. Anyway, the Democrats are saying that rioters in BLM need space to destroy. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If a Trump supporter happens to be misdemeanor trespassing, they're going to sit in jail well past, you know, prior to trial, well past any sentence that would be passed on them. It's ugly. Okay, that's why
it's a clear violation of the Bill of Rights. You've got a right to speedy trial. You've got a right to not have excessive bail. You've got a right to not face cruel and unusual punishment. All three of those rights have been violated.
It's much more than that. But you have to step back from it and look at, let's go back to the word riot. Okay. Like I said, I used to teach how to quell a riot on behalf of a government we like and how to start one against a government we didn't. Okay. And the bottom line is the term riot is relative, depending on, especially in our given political climate, where one man's riot is another man's freedom fighter, or however you want, you know, to totally distort an old saying. Okay. So, and what's going on here is, and I have a couple Academy classmates that are saying that the Republican Party has totally sullied itself because of what happened on January 6th. And I'm trying to say, I'm sorry, but first of all, it's not proven that even the majority of the people that committed actual felonies, in other words, battery on a Leo and felony destruction of property, were actually Republicans supporting Trump. That is not a fact in evidence at this point.
Well, one of the facts in evidence is that the crowd was wormholed through with feds. Ray Epps wasn't the only Fed asset there. And we've got, you know, we've had for years video of Antifa getting dressed up in Trump gear. And their code was they were going to wear their MAGA hats backwards so that they could identify themselves. They could identify each other, identification friend or foe, from Trump supporters that were wearing their MAGA caps with the bill forward. And my friends that were there at the Capitol all report to me, they saw an awful lot of people wearing the turtleneck face mask things, the gaiters that go around up to their eyes, up over their nose, wearing their MAGA caps backward and creating mayhem. So, you know, those people were Antifa. And we called it out right away, and they poo-pooed us, and they censored us. I got articles taken down at MAGAinstitute.com. You got articles taken down. Let's talk about the article that you wrote that was censored.
Well, back in January 2021, I looked at that because Her Majesty and I were watching this on the TV. And what we are seeing is all these people, and they're folks like us, they're old retired fat farts, okay? And they're there, and they're walking through Statuary Hall in the Congress between the velvet guide ropes. And you and I both know that velvet guide ropes, you know, can't stop a determined thrust, right? So they're all walking through there. They're chatting up the guards.
They can't stop an accidental hip check.
Exactly. And that's perfect. I'm stealing that. They can't stop an accidental hip check. You're correct. And they're walking through there, but the audio we are hearing from the legacy news is, oh, this is the destruction of our nation. The world is going to end. This is a riot. It's all over. Earthquakes, volcanoes, cats living with dogs together. You know, and we're both looking at this. Go, what's wrong with this picture? And what's happening is,
meanwhile, Code Pink actually occupied Nancy Pelosi's office the summer previous. Nothing happened. There was no news outcry. It wasn't, you know, 24/7 news cycle for 18 months. We didn't have a congressional Soviet style show trial commission. Adam Kinzinger wasn't crying about it.
Well, as all this comes out, we're all willing to beat our chest. And I among them, because I wrote about this then and I got smacked and my article pulled. I lost some revenue and now I'm beating my chest. Okay, it's great. You know, I am vindicated. But you know what? I actually lost, and we all actually lost. And the reason is because if you have to go to court, if you have to fight, if you lose the revenue up front and then have to claw it back, you're losing. And I think we need to talk about that in the next segment, because there's a whole much more to that we're missing here that people
aren't. Well, we've lost something even bigger than that, okay? We've lost all faith in legacy media. it's gotten to the point, Mike, where if you want to know what's going on in the world, all you have to do is read the Washington Post and the New York Times and know that the truth is exactly the opposite of what you were just told it was.
We've lost more than that. In the Declaration of Independence, it says we're not supposed to change our governments for light or
transient causes.
Transient causes, okay? And so we created a government where we could modify our government either through the legislative power or through the congressional power, or even, when necessary, through the judicial power. But what has happened now is folks like me, folks like you, folks like the guy wearing the horns, who I'd like to meet, by the way, and I'll buy him a beer or a single malt any day. They have to spend every dime they've ever earned to defend themselves in order to make the system work. And so when that happens, how soon is it before we decide, you know what? We can't get a fair shake in the courts, in the legislature, in the Constitution, or any of that. So what do we do next? And I think we ought to talk about that.
Let's do right after the break. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
As I've stated many times, I don't care if a person is gay, straight, trans, or whatever. I say live and let live. I don't walk around with a special colored flag demanding that everyone worship it to celebrate my sexuality, so leave me alone. Do your thing, and don't expect the world to applaud you for what your sexuality is. Now, you may or may not know, Wednesday was International Women's Day, and that posed quite a problem since it seems very few on the left are willing to define what a woman is. But Hershey's didn't hesitate to define their version of a woman by putting a trans woman on a candy bar wrapper to celebrate the day. And here she is.
My name is Faye Johnstone. I'm the executive director of Wisdom to Action. We can create a world where everyone is able to live in public space as their honest and authentic selves. See the woman changing how we see the future at Hershey's Canada.
That courtesy of Fox News, Hershey's Canada's Her for She campaign, by the way. Faye Johnstone, she identifies as, get this, 2SLGBTQIA+ advocate. That's what she is. To Hershey's, as a longtime customer, I say goodbye. Thanks for giving me a minute, folks. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
If you're talking about it,
China sent that surveillance balloon over.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Indeed, the text reads, prudence indeed will indicate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Mike, I started off a show earlier this week by saying this is the first time in American history that all three branches of the federal government have been weaponized against we the people. And thank God Jim Jordan has his committee on the weaponization of government going, because what we're learning there must make sure that this never, ever happens again.
Do you think it will?
I have to hope it will. Because the only alternative is 1861. And I don't think any of us want that to happen.
Well, I was kind of thinking more along the lines of 1775 on a cool spring morning on Lexington Common.
Yes, Lexington Battle Green.
Captain John Parker stood at the head of his local militia, who had gathered there to express umbrage at the Crown's illegal attempt to confiscate colonial weapons. Okay. And I can see some of this happening at some point in the future. Look at what has happened in Great Britain, where a family was forbidden by their sovereign to take their child out of a hospital and take their child somewhere where there was some possible, however remote, hope that the child might live. No, you can't take the child. The child must die here. Ask yourself as a father, would you put up with that?
I'd shoot anybody that tried to do that in the face. There's no question about it.
Okay. And I imagine that you could probably get a few of your friends to stand with you. And then were friends with the local sheriff, when the federal government came around to enforce that, how would that end up playing out? You know, it doesn't need to be the federal government taking weapons. The federal government coming down to keep you from taking your child out of a government hospital to somewhere where your child might survive a procedure that is not approved of by the federal government. So look at that. You know, the difference. Go ahead.
And they're backdooring gun confiscation because the EPA shut down the last lead smelter in America. It was in Arizona. It was bothering nobody. It wasn't harming any groundwater, any air. Smelting is a messy operation, but they had it perfectly environmentally contained. But the point was that we had to shut down the lead because we didn't want access to lead, because lead makes freedom seeds. And then anybody that's selling freedom seeds or barking irons, we're going to cut off their access to banking services and credit card processing services and something called Operation Choke Point. They're trying to put a chokehold on the Second Amendment. It's clearly illegal. It's clearly extra constitutional. The Supreme Court has finally started to rule in our favor. You know, and God love her, Kathy Hochul, my communist governor, threw a toddler temper tantrum when the Supreme Court struck down New York's unconstitutional gun registration law. You know, I grew up in New York, and I've known literally all my life that our law was unconstitutional. But it took until I was 60 years of age for the Supreme Court to agree that it was unconstitutional. It was a law from 1917. It took over 100 years to get it deemed unconstitutional. So how did she respond? She doubled down on stupid and put even more egregiously unconstitutional requirements in place, like submitting all of your social media handles for the last 3 years, and then you have to wait while the sheriff goes through the last 3 years of your social media feed. So that's going back to the Supreme Court. And my hope, Mike, is that the Supreme Court, which I don't think is going to look too kindly on the fact that Kathy Hochul flipped them off with both hands, is going to say, okay, you didn't like that we said that people had a right to defend themselves, and so you put even more egregiously unconstitutional and illegal requirements in place. How about this? Constitutional carry is the law of the land. Bang the gavel. Boom. All 50 states at once.
Well,
that's what I'm hoping happens.
Why do we need to sit around and wait for this? Here's the question for you. And this is the part that bothers me. I went through an ugly divorce. And one of the things it taught me is one of the things that it taught me is outside forces can, with no financial debt on their part, force you to spend billable hours for an attorney. And the federal government.
I talked about this two Thursdays ago with Roger Stone. There's a reason why the Department of Justice has a 96% conviction rate when only 3% of cases go to trial. It's because the first thing they do is they shut off your bank account so you can't hire a lawyer. The second thing they do is to freeze all the rest of your assets, and they literally financially force you.
The other part is called buying the pot. The other part's called buying the pot.
Yeah. Okay. And they literally force you into a position where you have to plead guilty to a crime that you did not commit in order for your family to survive.
Exactly. And Lieutenant General Flynn is a poster child for that. Okay, this general officer who was doing things right and did nothing wrong by contacting his future counterparts. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. You're, you know, when you become the National Security Advisor designee, you start doing the rounds and talking to all your counterparts. And they tried to say that that was a crime. Wrong. But the point is, here is the federal government with attorneys on salary, or if they need to get more, they can contract attorneys with a taxpayer base. Okay. Taxpayers funding it. But you and I have to pay by the billable hour. And my position on this is we need to start going after government officials as private citizens, and not what they're doing as the government, but find other stuff and attack them with lawfare and make them pay by the billable hour. That'll stop this stuff.
Yeah, because you know a lot of these guys are into some pretty shady stuff.
That's right. And when we start attacking them, they'll stop messing with us. The problem is they've been messing with us, and we sit back and take it. But what you do is you walk, and I will tell you right now, if you walk behind Eric Holder's vehicle and let him hit you and then sue him personally and put his family into penury, that'll stop that.
Well, in theory, it's good. In practice, I don't know if we could ever get enough people. Because, again, most of the judges are corrupt. Look at the testimony in Arizona a couple of weeks
ago. Sue them personally. Go after them personally.
But what good is that? Look at the testimony. Not only was Katie Hobbs bought by the cartel using fraudulent real estate transactions, but so too were county commissioners, so too were county legislators, and so too were 20-some district court judges. Okay, so if the judges are corrupt,
go after them personally,
and the prosecutors are corrupt, only if you don't have a corrupt judiciary. And we can't say that we don't have a corrupt judiciary in a lot of places in this country.
At some point, they have to respond to the charge. Okay, so what you have to do, you can't.
Yeah,
go
but
after
they just
them
go away. They file a motion to dismiss, and the judge will say, "Yep, so ordered." Boom.
Go after the judge and go after him personally. You don't go after him as a judge dismissing this. You go after him as a private citizen. He wasn't mowing his lawn right. He backed out of his driveway wrong. That's the way you go after that, because that's what the Democrats are doing to us.
Yeah, but they've got the judges in their pockets. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, to whose authority? Quis custodiat ipsos custodes? Who guards the guardians, right? They own the institutions. We've got to claw this back. We've been just keeping our heads down, running our businesses, providing for our families, paying our taxes, and enjoying a ball game on the weekends, okay? While they have been on a long march through the institutions. And like it or not, they're the establishment now. The upside is that we're the punk rockers now. Did you ever think that we'd be the... Johnny Lydon said it, right? Sex Pistols' Johnny Lydon said, "I never thought I'd live to see the day when it was the conservatives that were the rabble-rousing, anti-establishment punk rockers saying F you to the authorities."
Imagine that, a punk rocker in a cowboy hat. And then
there
some.
You go. Looking good. You're doing your best Wilford Brimley tonight. You got the mustache going. Yeah, a little TR there. Yeah, we got to get you those rimless glasses. You'll be a little TR there. You got the mustache going. You got the cowboy hat going. You know, but I loved Teddy until I didn't like Teddy. Teddy started the Progressive Party, which became known as the Bull Moose Party, but it was the Progressive Party. And it was Teddy Roosevelt that gave us Woodrow Wilson. And it was Woodrow Wilson that gave us the Beast from Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve, that gave us the income tax, 16th Amendment,
gave us
the 17th Amendment that took away the state's voice in our federal government. So as much as I love the early TR, I loved him NYPD chief of police, used to walk the beat, and if he found guys napping, they were off the force. He was great as an assemblyman. He was great as a New York State governor. He was great as a president. Started our national park system.
Bully.
He was great in Cuba, right? He gave us the mojito, but or I'm sorry, the daiquiri. He gave us the daiquiri. You go to the Army Navy Club in Washington, D.C., and you can have the original recipe daiquiri, which is actually kind of sour, or you can have the sweeter version. But he brought that back from Cuba along with a victory. But at the end of his career, the last thing he did was start the Progressive Party. And that was the first domino that has gotten us into the soup where we are. Because they've been playing the long game while we've been keeping our head down and doing what we thought we were supposed to be doing.
I would say that's a correct assessment, sir.
So tell us a little bit more in the last few minutes about this article that got censored.
Well, you know, there's what's that German word? Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude.
However you pronounce it, it was great that, you know, the company I was with retracted it because they were, you know, financially coerced. And it turns out I was right all along. So it's great. Just read the article. It's on afnn.us. It's in the upper left-hand corner. Check it out. It'll be up there for the next couple of days.
So basically, you were censored because you committed the sin of journalism.
I hate it when that happens.
You know, Tucker committed the sin of journalism, and up Chuck Schumer took to the well of the Senate, waving his hands around, going crazy. The demons were a-howling. How dare the plebs be allowed to see the information we kept from them?
You know, here's something that folks ought to look at. Why did, in about 30 seconds after all this took place on January 6th, a whole bunch of fences go up to prevent American citizens from accessing the center of their government?
Mike, I was there the next day. The fences were around the Capitol, and they kept pushing us back. They pushed us back to 4th Street, and they put the perimeter there. Do you know how much fencing it took? It took a couple miles of fencing. Jersey barriers with fence that was in the shape of an L. It was a base with one long side on the base, and you put the jersey barrier on the long side. So all you were seeing from the street side was just a sheer 10-foot wall of steel mesh, impenetrable. That had all been prepositioned. That had all been acquired, stored, ready to go. This January 6th was a color revolution in the United States government.
So my question is, if you're doing it right, why do you need to do that?
Exactly. If you won the election fair and square, why would you need to run a color revolution?
Exactly.
And look, the truth is finally coming out. I started the show tonight by saying in January, I sensed a sea change coming. I felt the wind shift. You know, I'm a sailor, so you're very sensitive to the wind. You look at the little cat's paws, the little ripplets on the water that show that a wind is coming so you can prepare for it so it doesn't tip you over. I felt the wind change, and I knew the sea change was coming. You can't suppress the truth to the extent that they've needed to forever. You know, Lincoln was right. You can fool all the people some of the time, some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all the time. And eventually the truth will out. I firmly believe that. And as do you, I know that ultimately God is in charge. And if we read the book, it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. But it's our job to keep doing what we can do. Let him work through us. Try to make this a better country. I appreciate you, appreciate your service and what you're doing now with afnn.us. Folks, that's our week. Hope you have a great weekend. Remember, we're going on to daylight stupid time this weekend. So the reckoning will now be on at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. No longer 6 p.m. We'll see you at 7 o'clock on Monday evening. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.